Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom, Barak Atah, Israel. Welcome to another edition of the Israelite Way of Life, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. This is a day that the Most High has made, a holy convocation for us to come together and let it be Kodesh, set apart, a day where we lift up the Most High and we immerse ourselves into the day of rest that was created for us, and to give him honor, praise, and not to seek our own pleasure, but to seek after him, and to just kind of reflect on the goodness of our Father, our Abba, our Savior, what he's done for us, and to kind of ponder the things that are before us, also the things that are behind us. We reflect on our culture on the Shabbat so that we better understand ourselves. We live the way he originally intended for us to live. We prepare ourselves for the wilderness. We prepare ourselves for where we're going. And that we will understand the moral code that he established for Israel to conduct their lives after, that they might be within the increases, the blessings that the Most High had originally intended for us. Truly, we are in captivity. We are under the curses. However, we can begin to see a newness of life when we conduct ourselves accordingly to the Torah, which is your Hebrew history book. Don't get it twisted. It's not just a Bible for all nations. It's the history book of the sojourn of a people. And the prophets have given us edification, knowledge, wisdom, and guidance, insight into the future. We won't be in captivity forever. So we take this time to prepare ourselves in our hearts. And it's not just on the Shabbat. Every day of my life, I long to be close to him by his side. You know, within the churches, they try and find out just how much they don't have to do anymore, when I think that we're living in an hour where we need to find out how much more can we do to be closer to the Most High, Ahaya, Bahashem, Yeshaya, Ruach, Ruach, how we can get closer to the Father, his Son, his Spirit. If there's things laid out in those scriptures where he prepared a covenant for us, an old covenant and a new covenant for us. There was no old covenant with Gentiles, so there can be no new covenant for Gentiles. These covenants were for his people, the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel that are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, that he's going to collect and gather to bring into the wilderness, for all of Israel shall be saved that are of the remnant that understand these commandments, which have never been done away with. They are a statute forever, Scripture says. He does not lie. He does not change his mind. He establishes things forever. And he sent his Son to solidify the prophecies, to fulfill, so that you might understand what was spoken of old and spoken of new. Know that the disciples kept these commandments. Know that the disciples kept these feasts and these festivals. Know that the disciples didn't start following Christ and convert to Catholicism or paganism or Greek customs or Greek calendars. No, they enhanced what they already had, which was the following of the Torah, keeping of the Sabbath, the Shabbat, the Sabbath, and the keeping of the feasts and the festivals. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Let's go before the Most High in prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we humble ourselves before you. Even that statement may be arrogant, because we don't even have the power to do so. We just lay out before you. We're grateful to have an opportunity to know you and to serve you and to worship you. Bring us together in your time. Cause us to know that we are one. Heal our nation, heal our people, heal our communities. You promised to watch over your word, to perform it, and as we prophesy into the wind, don't let it return void. May our brothers and sisters begin to wake up from their sleep and from their captivity and from their deception of religion, and come to know that you are the Most High God that has called a people, your family, and given us statutes and laws to follow after, that we might know you, grow closer to you, be protected, and be prepared for the time that's coming of pestilence and famine in the land, where thousands shall fall to our left and right. But you said we would stand and we would come through the fire, tried in the fire, and come through as pure gold. But we must be disciples, which means disciplined after your statutes and covenants. Give my brothers and sisters strength to do so. Edify them today. If there's healing needed in their body, may there be healing in their bodies. And may they come back to the statutes and commandments. Father, these blessings we ask in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. We pray. Amen. Let it be. I am Elder V, and I'm not going to be before you long. Don't have a long lesson today. I know there's a lot of you preparing for the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles. I didn't get a chance to talk about the Day of Atonement, so I wanted to talk just for a brief moment about the Day of Atonement and fasting. I know Sukkot is coming. Many of you will be going camping, preparing your tents, preparing your sacrifice. You know, all praises to the Most High for you that are designed to follow after our culture and customs. We know that Christ is our atonement. We know that we can't keep all 600-something commandments. There's only 280-something that are applicable, somewhat applicable to us in this captivity. And we also know that we don't have the sanctuary, the priests. We don't have to do the sacrifices. But for those of you that understand the increases and blessings of being harmonious with what's happening in heaven in Shemayim, and what's happening with the Most High and the angels by being in frequency and in line with these feasts and festivals, may the Most High bless you because you understand that you're aligning yourself with the protection and guidance and original intent and design that the Most High had for the earth. You walk circumspectly by doing so. You're walking circumspectly by doing so. And you walk within a different realm than most. Need I say, you're walking with angels. We all have angels. But when you come into in line and harmony, and it's my prayer that all of Israel at some point will come into harmony with the different days that we keep. I admonish you, for you all are keeping them. We just have various times, and everyone's trying to prove who's right, who's wrong, and who's wrong because of how they're living, all the sins that they're in, or the mistakes they've made. And hopefully we'll be able to look past that, the Most High, look past your sins, and then begin to just do the study and observe the times. Just pull to the side real quick. I'm not following anything that these Khazarian Jews have established, because they are some Kabbalah-worshipping, Talmud-eating, sinful synagogue of Satan people, and anything that's in line with the days that they keep, I want nothing to do with. I'll simplify some things right there. If you're keeping any feasts and festivals following after Tetragrammaton on the days that they keep, wearing that Star of David, you need to check yourself and do some research and study that you are following a hexagram, which is a portal to Satan. These people with the Talmud believe that Christ is in hell, buried in excrement. They do not believe in the Son of the Most High. They worship Baphomet. They worship Satan. They will outwardly tell you. So for you to be in line with keeping the days and feasts and festivals that they keep, and the same names such as Rosh Hashanah and the different Yiddish names that they keep, have nothing to do with our Most High. Actually, when you think about Rosh Hashanah, it's a mockery of the fall of Adam and the fall of man. But if you don't do your research, you won't know that, because a lot of you come into the knowledge of this truth and you think you're a Jew and you're supposed to follow those Jews over there in Israel, which are really the synagogue of Satan as spoken of in Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9. So be mindful of that. Do your research and find out how the calendars have been changed, because man has sought to change times and seasons and throw us off so that we cannot be harmonious with the Most High. And that's why it's important for you to do a study. I kind of lost my train of thought of where I was going prior to that, because that's so passionate to me for us to understand that we must not only study the scriptures, the Apocrypha, but we must look at maps, calendars, historical events, atlases, the things that have been changed. And I know there's only so much we can do at this present time. And for those of you who go to the best of your ability, yield yourself to some teaching out there that will help to put you in line with the right way. But stray away from following that is so widely established, I'll just put it that way, are so popular of what everyone is doing. And that's why I wanted to go back to atonement, because I didn't get a chance to talk about it, because I know we're going into the Feast of Tabernacles, but I didn't get a chance to talk about it. I wanted to talk about it because it's one of the feasts that no one wants to keep. It's the least popular because it's not celebratory. It's a time for the afflicting of one's soul. And even though many of you have already done your fasting, I just want to talk about it myself, since I get a chance to talk about it, from Leviticus 16 and 29. And it says, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work. at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. Let me pull to the side real quick as it pertains to strangers. There's a lot of people that have conflict as it pertains to strangers amongst the children of Israel, even in the Torah. Was it possible? Was it something that could happen? Were we to intermingle? Let's look at something. Let me turn real quick to... give me 1 second. Numbers 15 and 13. Everyone who is native born must do these things in this way when he brings an offering made by fire as an aroma pleasing to the Most High. 14. For the generations to come, whenever an alien or anyone else living among you presents an offering made by fire as an aroma pleasing to the Most High, he must do exactly as you do. The community is to have the same rules for you and for the alien living among you. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. You and the aliens shall be the same before the Most High. The same laws and regulations will apply both to you and to the alien living among you. Now, some insist that Torah was only for us Hebrews, but as we can see from the above, that is not true. The foreigners include everyone who has chosen to believe in Yeshua. The Bible tells us that the Most High is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13 and 8. That Yeshua, who is higher, come in the flesh, and that he and his disciples were all Torah observant, and they all kept the Sabbath and the feast. The important thing, and the Bible also tells us that his original followers in the first century, before Catholicism came to pervert the word, were all Torah observant as well. So what's supposed to happen to change that? The answer is man's opinions got in the way, Jeremiah 31 and 32. The new covenant was for the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And the only reason there'd be a new covenant for them because the original covenant was for us. So you would not create a new covenant and give it to somebody else and say that's for them. So the Gentiles do have it twisted. They're to do as we do, follow as we follow, follow our customs, let us preach, let us teach if they come amongst us. But we're not to follow them and follow their customs, which we're doing today. Many people do within these religions and these Christian churches. I just wanted to pull to the side because we had read that about the aliens among us that would be afflicting their souls as well. Talking about fasting, I always like to talk about Isaiah 58 because there's a different fast, because many people fast just for to be acknowledged or to think they're going to achieve some type of power. But the whole thing about afflicting your soul, it was a statute that was forever. It was a time to repent. When we had the Feast of Trumpets, a lot of people were celebratory and excited about blowing their shofars, but not understanding that it was a call to prepare for judgment. You were atoning and fasting to cleanse yourself, hopefully, from the sins that you had committed throughout the year as a way of saying, I'm sorry. When I think about King David, and the sin that he committed, he put on sackcloth and ashes for knowing that he had killed a man, Uriah, and taken his wife and committed adultery. All of these were sins that were punishable by death. And the prophet Nathan came and made it very clear to him that he was supposed to die, but the Most High had mercy on him, and he began to fast and afflict his soul. How many of you know that you sin on a daily basis, but never afflict your souls? And a lot of people think they're just getting away with it, and they wonder why they struggle and wrestle with so many things, because they're not willing to make a sacrifice of repentance to the Most High. Although Christ is our atonement, you can't just continue to live comfortably in sin. How in the New Testament, there's a scripture that says, how dare we continue in sin, God forbid. You know, so many of us continue in sin. True repentance is to turn away from it and come back to the Torah and follow his statutes and commandments and to walk away from that type of sin. So we even see in Leviticus, Leviticus 23 and 27, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls an offer, an offering made fire unto the Lord. Let me say something. Many people don't understand to afflict your soul is to take food away from your soul. It is to fast. It is to control the appetite of the flesh and its hunger and its desires. It is to persecute one's own flesh. I would rather persecute my own flesh than to have the Most High get a hold of me for all the sins that I have committed. His mercy is great, but he wants to know that you have a repentant heart towards him. Imagine him calling David the apple of his eye, because David knew what he did wrong, what he was supposed to do, because he had a heart towards the Most High. And his conscience would convict him to the point where he could not even continue in his kingship. He could have been arrogant as a king and said, I can do whatever I want to do. But instead, he wrote the psalm, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me, and restore the joy of my salvation. These are things that he would write and sing about in the midst of his sins or mistakes, and we don't understand that. So I don't think that a lot of us talk about the importance of atonement and fasting, because it is the one time, but even outside of the one time of atonement, there is the importance of us afflicting our souls. I can't stress enough how important it's going to be for you to afflict your soul, that you might be able to get familiar spirits and soul ties off of you from lasciviousness and fornication and previous relationships and lust that come back. Scripture tells us in the New Testament that Satan comes back and finds the temple swept and clean and goes back and gets seven more unclean spirits and tries to occupy. These temptations will try and come back, and a lot of us have a proclivity. We are inclined to lean back to our pet sins. And I call them pet sins because there are things that you are inclined to be weak to, which is why he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Every one of us has a sin that easily besets us, and we expose ourselves to that sin. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, tells the Most High that, look what he's doing or she's doing again. And when you open yourself up to sin in that spirit, you open yourself up to other spirits coming within. And the only way to cleanse yourselves from these soul ties of these spirits, from fornication, laying with people who have other spirits that have tied themselves with you and you exposing yourself to those particular demons, is through fasting. Let me give you the precept. Let's go to Mark 9 and 25. And when Yeshua saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Now, many of you don't even have, we're supposed to do greater things like our brother Christ, but many of you don't even have that type of power in your life because you do not fast and pray and you do not keep Torah and you do not follow after the Most High. Am I being self-righteous saying I'm better than you? No. But do I know that we have the onus is upon us to follow after these commandments? And if we do so, will we have power to lay hands on the sick and they recover, and to cast out demons? Yes. This is the benefit, and this is the benefit that's going to be needed in this hour. When this pestilence from all of these various flus and diseases that are coming upon us, that vaccinations aren't going to help, and the vaccinations begin to take root in your body, and these demon spirits begin to take root in your body, there's going to be quarantines going on in this land. And there's no help from the atmosphere with the chemtrails, with the GMO foods. Our bodies are broke down. The waters are fluoridated. We're being poisoned. And once they release these strains and these bugs and these flus, there'll be nothing in you to fight spiritually and physically if you don't have the knowledge or the power to be able to stand. So let me go back to this. And verse 26, and the spirit cried and rent him sore, and it came out of him. And he was as one dead, and so much that many said, he is dead. But Yeshua took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Listen to this. The disciples didn't even have the power to do so. Christ said in verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let me pull to the side real quick. Your satanic NIV Bible took this scripture out of their book because they don't want you to know this. They don't want you to know by what name you can be saved. And they don't want you to know this particular scripture that certain demons can only come out through prayer and fasting. So let me go back to atonement. The day of fasting and afflicting your souls. Many of you had a problem doing it just one day as a feast. Christ is making it clear that in order to keep demons out of your life or to cast demons out of other people's life, you're going to have to be given to fasting and to prayer. What I see right there, and this is me reading into it, is that I must fast often in order to maintain this type of power in my life. So I'm not like the disciples in verse 28 that said, how come we didn't cast out this spirit? How come we had no power over Satan and his demons and his imps? And Christ made it clear, you're not fasting, you're not praying. So the afflicting of your soul is the pulling away from this life, this earth, this world, the lust for food, the lust for pleasure, the lust for things that you need for yourself, and learning to put those things to the side and afflict your body and soul and say, I don't need it. I'll do without. And the temptation will come just as Christ was on the mountain and Satan took him to the highest mountain and tempted him after the 40-day fast to turn sort of rocks into bread and said, I'll give you all this. I'll give you all these things. And he was weak. He was at his weakest state. And he still was able to stand and rebuke him and tell him what the word said. So this is what I want to bring out about the Day of Atonement, even though many of us aren't there. I just want to talk about the fasting aspect as part of our Hebrew culture, that you might be strong. So don't, many of you did not fast on Atonement. Many of you are going into the Day of Atonement on Monday or Tuesday. So I encourage you to do so. But more importantly, to let this be a part of your life. Because where we're going is upon us. Biblical proportions, prophecies are being fulfilled. They're telling you one thing on the news, but they're prepared for war. There are demons here that have never been here before. There are armies preparing spiritually and physically. Christ is soon to return. But prior to his return, there will be pestilence and famine in the land. Many things shall go forth. But what will keep you is you being a commandment keeper, someone who prays, someone who fasts, someone who stands strong, someone who afflicts his soul, that will increase their faith and be able to stand in this hour and trust the Most High. Let him see your heart and consider you to be the apple of his eye as well. Listen, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Kwam Yasharala, let's rise, Israel. Shabbat Shalom, Barak Athah, Mount V, may the Most High bless and keep you.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Iron shirt and chain.
you out of the bed.